Intervju Radija Študent. V tokratnem Ereš intervjuju se pogovarjamo z Alexom Figueira, bobnarjem zasedbe Fumasa Preta, ki nocoj nastopi na drugi godbi v Channel Zero na Metelkovi. Zasedba ustvarja psihedelično, noro in eksplozivno glasbo, ki v funk, rock in elektroniko upleta tako afriške kot južnoameriške elemente. Pogovor bo tekel okoli njegovega zanimanja za glasbo, zbiranju vinilov, njegovi založbi, festivalih in ne nazadnje tudi zasedbi sami.
So, hello Alex.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah. First time in Ljubljana?
First time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully not the last.
You went a bit around the city?
Yeah, I went for a walk, get some food, get a bit of an impression.
Mm-hmm. And do you like it?
Yeah, it's very nice. It's a very nice city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're playing tonight in Druga Godba in Channel Zero?
Yeah.
In the festival? With the band Fumasa Preta. So yes. I wonder, you didn't play here before, I presume?
No. First time.
So maybe you can maybe describe how did you form the band? How did the band form?
The band formed by a series of coincidences. When I met Stuart and James, the other two guys in the band.
Mm-hmm.
Through a small record label that I put up some years ago. I released a record of the band they had back in the day called The Grits.
Mm-hmm.
I released that record because I really liked the sound they had. They had this very nasty psychedelic funk that I was really crazy about, still am.
Mm-hmm.
And we became friends after that. I eventually built a studio in the back of my house and I invited them to play over. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that I could play an instrument. They thought I was just a guy with a label.
Okay.
So I suppose they would be skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out well. I started writing music right there.
So where are you currently living?
Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm. You've been to Portugal and Venezuela.
Yes.
And how come you came to Amsterdam?
Well, I suppose like most young immigrants, I had a Dutch girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, and I wanted to move away from Portugal, so it seemed like the most logical destination.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it was. I've been there for 12 years and I got no plans for going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And how did you come across music? When did you decide to?
Well, that happened back in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. I started playing the drums when I was 15 or 14. Somewhere between 14 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to Portugal, I kept on playing. I played in a few bands there. I did a bit of guitar because mm-hmm. I couldn't take my drums with me to Lisbon. But when I moved to Amsterdam, I decided to go back to the drums because I'm actually a very bad guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a little better with the drums. It goes long back, mm-hmm. I suppose.
You also started to collect vinyls in...
That also started in Venezuela.
Yeah.
No, that started in Venezuela as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was very young. Back then the decision to actually buy vinyl was merely financial.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the early 90s. Nobody wanted vinyl for nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like CDs right now. Like, you could buy, with the same money you would need to buy a CD, you could buy maybe 15, 20 records.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I didn't have much money, so vinyl was obviously the only possibility for me.
Do you keep records? How much do you have them now?
No, I don't count, no, I'm too, I find it a bit boring. In terms of space, it's a bit of an issue because I don't have any space left. putting records on the the bed in the studio, and some friends have some. It's a bit messy, but I don't want to count them.
Which one was the most played?
The most played record? Oh my god, that's a great question. That requires a lot of thinking. I'm not sure. It's probably one of the earliest records. Because, I mean, when I was in Versailles, I didn't have many records. I only have a handful. Even though they were cheap. I mean, I was just a teenager. I didn't have much money. I remember I had a Police record. I had a Bob Marley record. Those two I played a lot. It was the Bob Marley record, was the Kaya album. It was relatively easy to find. I did play it a lot back then. Eventually other records came that got played a lot more. But it's a bit, it's all very unloyal. I can get crazy about a record and then a couple of weeks later a new record comes in and that record gets no attention anymore. It keeps shifting.
Was there any album that you like just bought like randomly and you said like this is really bad music and you just threw it away?
Oh no, that happens all the time. Yeah, that happens. I wouldn't say weekly, but definitely monthly. Yeah. I mean, part of the process is taking risks. Sometimes you cannot listen before you buy, especially if you go to a flea market or you go to one of those old-fashioned record stores where the guy doesn't want you to listen to the records. There's still a few like that. And you just have to, I mean, take a guess. You go on the cover, maybe you know someone who played on the record, you take a risk, and many times you realize you just wasted your money. Yes. That happens a lot.
So now you're in Amsterdam. What's the scene there like, the music scene? And what's maybe the recognition of Fumaça Preta there?
All right. We're getting into polemic territory. The scene, well, that's a quite broad term. The music scene, I mean, there's different scenes, right? The electronic music scene, for example, is huge. It's really strong. It's definitely the strongest. It's like, well, actually, electronic music is one of the main exports in Holland. So that says enough. In older styles, it's not as present, I would say. But in the kind of music I like, which is mostly African, Latin, experimental, it's getting a lot better. It's right. I think right now it's on a particularly good point. There's a lot of really nice bands, and people know each other. People are starting to play with each other, and it's great. I think it's the best in the 12 years I've been. I think it's at the highest point that I've seen.
Your music is very...
You asked me about the recognition of Fumaça Preta in there. There's not much recognition. No, I think Fumaça Preta is not really a band that has made an impact in Holland like it's made in other countries. We've done a handful of gigs in there. There's one city though called Nijmegen where we have a following, and it feels great every time we play there. It's great. But Amsterdam, for example, where I live, no, it's very up and down. Sometimes we get a great gig, sometimes there's 20 people in the crowd. It's weird.
Do you think it would be better if it started like in Portugal or Venezuela with this kind of music?
It would be better in what sense?
If you'd be maybe more recognized.
More popular? No, I don't think so. No, I mean, the music is weird enough. I think it's good that it has touched certain people. I mean, we're here in Ljubljana for the first time, playing that crazy stuff that we play. It's a bit of a miracle. You know, I would have never guessed. When we made our first single, I never expected that someone would bring me to Slovenia to play a gig. No.
You also have your own record label.
Yes.
How come? Is this like some kind of opposition towards music industry, or was just something that you wanted to have? It was more practical or something.
Well, I'd love to say that I love fighting the record industry. Even though when you look at the output that I've had on my label, it's not like I'm fighting that much. I have been very lazy with my output, like a single a year. I should be a lot more prolific if I was to call it a fight against the music industry. Now, the truth is, I opened a record label because I wanted to put out music that no other label was putting out. Music that I thought deserved to be on vinyl, but it was too weird, or it wasn't commercial enough, or it was too crazy. As a record collector, the kind of record collector I am, that's the kind of record you always look for. The record that didn't get recognized because it was too weird, or because it was too far out. So because of that, I thought, well, if nobody's doing it, I'll have to do it myself. So that was the motivation, basically.
And maybe if we return to Fumasa Preta, I wonder, how does your, music creation look like? How do you create music together? Is this something
The creative specific? Process.
Yeah, maybe
the creative process. The creative process is... It's very intense. It's not the prettiest part of the whole process that having a band or having this band is.
What do you mean? You just go and play for 12 hours?
It's like a fight. It's like a fight, yes. It's like a fight, and it gets really intense at a certain point for several reasons. I can give you the whole list. The main reason, we never have a lot of time. I mean, in a normal band, you will rehearse periodically, frequently. You will create songs during those rehearsals. Eventually, when the song sounds good, you go and record it. Because we all live in different places. I mean, the two, Jason and Stuart, live in England. Because we live in different places, we don't get the chance to rehearse. We don't get the chance to create organically, gradually, naturally. No, we basically book 3 or 4 days in my studio, and we just try to make as much music as possible during those days. So we end up working 16 hours, or 18 hours if necessary. It all adds up. By the end of the 4 days, we are at the verge of killing each other. And there's a lot of confrontation, because we all have very different ideas, very different approaches to music, and very different tastes. We also agree on a lot of stuff. Actually, we agree on what I would call the fundamentals. We normally agree very easily on how the drums have to sound, or how the bass line should be. We don't discuss much. We lose a lot of time, and we go into fight discussing whether a cowbell should hit once or twice in the minute 2 and 15 on the song, for example. It's like an explosion. It's like a big bang. And what you hear on the record is the reminiscences of the explosion.
Since we're not that familiar with the language, I mean, a bit, yes, but what do you put in the lyrics? What are they about?
The lyrics? The lyrics on the first album, for example, they were made by Joel. He was our singer when we did the first album. And he's a very, very psychedelic guy. He's like genuinely psychedelic. His thoughts are very psychedelic. So his lyrics, therefore, are very psychedelic. I am not sure what they are about. I suppose it's all very personal views on personal issues. I help him a lot on putting them into songs. He had a book of poems that I help him translate into actual song lyrics for the song. And a lot of the times he's just playing nonsense. I think he's just freaking out and writing, and he's great. Some of the best art is just made playing nonsense. It only makes sense for the person that made it, and everyone else around it is just trying to make sense of it. But on the second album, and that I can talk by myself, it's a whole mixture. There is still some of the nonsense that I also have a bit myself. There is a lot of personal views on stuff. For example, the opening song, it's mostly about the apathy that I see around me. When it comes to all the changes that we are seeing and how fast they're happening and how little participation I'm seeing, it's a bit of a paradox. And it talks about that paradox, how we are more informed than we ever been, but yet we are more apathetic than we ever been. For example, I don't know, there's songs about temptation, there's songs about police corruption in a funny way, if you might. A lot of the times it's connected to the stuff that I saw when I was growing up in Venezuela. That is still happening. Well, it's actually pretty much worse right now. But a lot of it, it connects to that. I don't know why. Maybe because it had a very hard impact on me that I still feel like I need to talk about it.
But you mentioned that the lyrics are psychedelic, but I'd also say that some videos that you make are psychedelic. Who makes the idea of it?
So some of the videos we did together. The video for Desimondar, the black and white one, was Stuart did pretty much all of it. Some of them are just crazy collaborations. For example, the video for La Trampa. Well, we just had an afternoon off in Brighton, and we were stuck at James's house, and we thought, okay, we need to make a video. All right, let's call a friend with a camera. No, we just shot the video. We didn't really have a plan.
Yeah.
I think you can see that.
Yeah.
It's more. We need to make more though. We need to make a few more videos. It's on the list. Hopefully for the next album.
Okay, so there will be a next album soon.
The next album is ready. It's ready to go.
Great.
It's all mixed. It's ready.
So when can we expect it?
I don't know.
Not yet. Okay.
There is still logistics. I'm having trouble finding a label that wants to put it out. Most labels are scared. So I don't know what's going to happen. I still need to hear from a couple of people.
Yeah.
I'd love to say it's coming out in September, but I doubt it.
We hope so.
Yeah.
So, well, your music is very diverse. I wouldn't dare to put it into one description or something. We just love it. That's it.
Cool. Well, that's the right way.
Maybe how would you say, without genre expressions, what do you play? What does your music can give to
I always find that the hardest fans? Question. I should have a standard answer, but I don't have it.
You don't have to answer.
No, let me think. It's a...
Besides that, it's really crazy.
Oh my God. Well, I guess it's like, it's like when you're having a nightmare. But a nightmare that you actually like and you don't want to wake up from. And that's the soundtrack. I will say something like that.
I think that's a great answer. Okay, so maybe we could go to Druga Godba now, to the festival. We have a gig tonight. maybe in general, what's your opinion on festivals, I guess? The concept of the festival.
Well, I think it's I can only have positive words for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's I mean, it normally treats the musicians well, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly the case right now. You get to meet a lot of other interesting bands that you wouldn't in a club context. And you get, in a very summarized way, you get a very solid impression of a preconceived musical idea.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in a World Music Festival, you will get if it's a good festival, you will get a good impression of what the term means.
Mm-hmm.
And a very diverse and selected idea. However, if I need to pick one disadvantage, is normally that you get to see the bands shorter than in a in a club gig, for example. Or sometimes the stage is too big. I prefer a smaller stage,
mm-hmm,
for all the reasons. But those are only details. I think the festivals are good in general.
You play festivals a lot?
I would say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where are you? Are you heading after Slovenia?
After Slovenia?
Do you have another gig or?
No, tomorrow I'm going back home.
Uh-huh.
But there's a few more festivals this summer. I don't know off the top of my head, but there's a few, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any artists in Druga Godba? Which play with you?
This year, I know a few. I know, for example, Kokolo, because the tour manager is a good friend of mine. I found out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they're incredible. Actually, I just heard that I'm going to be able to see a bit of their gig before ours, so I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I know the three ladies. Le Fil de, what's it called again? I can't pronounce that name.
Il Cadat.
There you go.
Like
I've seen them a couple of times. They're great. I know another one. I have to look at the program. But
so
it looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looked like a really nice selection of bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a festival. If I wasn't playing, I will definitely go to.
Cool. So tonight we're really looking forward to your show. I'm sure it will be crazy.
Let's hope.
Yeah, we'll respond really well. And how do usually respond people? Do they start like immediately?
How do they usually respond?
Yeah.
Varies a lot.
They have like a really good one concert which was like really crazy.
One concert that was really crazy. There's been a few that were really crazy. Well, I remember there was a funny one in Poland last year. I think it was last year. I can't remember how the festival was called. My gosh. But we were filling in for a band that just canceled last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And we were called like a week before the date. It's like, oh yeah, can you do this gig? Casually, we had that Saturday free. But one of the few Saturdays that we have free. So we all flew there. We had no idea of nothing. Nobody had any idea. We weren't even in the program. Because it was too late to change anything, mm-hmm, you know? So a lot of people went there to see God knows who was supposed to play. I don't even know myself. And they just found us. And you know, it can go perfectly wrong or it can go perfectly right, and it did go perfectly right. People went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was a tent and it was kind of cold, and people were moving so much, it got so hot that the sweat was dripping from the ceiling. It was very disgusting. It was very sweaty. It was a very sweaty gig. But the reaction was incredible. It was really, really cool.
Great. So see you tonight. I'm sure there will also be sweat in Channel Zero.
Let's hope, yeah.
And good luck with your record.
Thank you very much.
Alexon Figueiro, ki z osebo Fomasa Preta nastopi nocoj na festivalu Druga godba v Channel Zero na Metelkovi, se je pogovarjala Brigita Gračna. Intervju Radija Študent.